Hello, welcome back to Globe Talks, a podcast designed to encourage and strengthen our church family one conversation at a time. My name is Anahi and I'm working as a ministry trainee for Globe Church this year. Today, I am joined by Johnny and Daniel to chat about evangelism. Thank you guys for coming on the podcast to help us think through this essential element of our faith. Let's begin with you guys just briefly introducing yourselves.
Hey, I'm Johnny. I've been part of the Globe Church family for about 9 years now. I've been an elder here for the past five, and I think that evangelism is just one of the biggest privileges that we can have as a Christian. So I'm really excited to be chatting to you guys about it.
Yeah, I'm Daniel. I've been attending the Globe for about a year. Before we start, I just need to say I'm not an expert on evangelism, but I feel I am an expert on my evangelism, what I've done so far. I was baptized when I was 50, which was 17 beautiful years ago, and I believe we're never too old and perhaps never too young to share the good news. I did have a cancer diagnosis and a treatment in 2014, and of course we all went through the pandemic not long after that, and I realised that death is close. It's close to me and close to all of us, but we've got good news to share. Yeah, that's me.
Great. Fab. So let's dive right in. Evangelism is a topic that is always important for us to think through, but it feels especially relevant right now at Globe Church because we've just finished studying Acts 17 in our midweek groups. And we had such a great time slowing down to examine how Paul engages with the Athenians. And we learned a lot from his compassionate concern for them. It was also really, really helpful to think through some robust ways to both connect with our culture and also challenge it as well. And seeing that we are having a particular focus on evangelism this month with our Have You Ever Wondered evangelistical series running, I'm praying that this conversation today will be a timely discussion for our church family. I'm sure we'll touch a bit more on Have You Ever Wondered later on. So, Johnny, as we start, I wonder if you can kick off our discussion by telling us what evangelism is and why we should bother with it. Because though the word evangelism doesn't actually appear in the Bible, the call to engage in evangelism is undeniable as we read the biblical narrative. So could you speak into our motivation for evangelism a little bit?
Yeah. So what is evangelism? Really, really simply, evangelism is sharing the good news of Jesus with the world. As Christians, we have a truth that the world needs. Jesus gives us a commission to go and tell that to the world. Like at the end of Matthew's gospel in Matthew chapter 20, Jesus says to his disciples, therefore go and make disciples. Mm. And so the pattern of the Christian life is a pattern of evangelism. It's a pattern of disciples making disciples. And we make disciples by telling people first about Jesus. So evangelism is right at the heart of what it means to be a Christian. We are given this commission by Jesus to go and tell the world about Jesus. And there are loads and loads of different ways that we can do that. There's sort of personal relationships. And one of my favorite passages in the New Testament is in Colossians 4, where Paul talks to the people in Colossae and he says, we loved you so much that we not only shared our lives with you, but we shared the gospel of God as well. And we see this picture of Paul doing what Jesus sent him on a commission to do, loving people, living alongside them and evangelizing to them, sharing the gospel with them. But it's not always going to be in that context. And I know, Daniel, you've done loads of street evangelism, first contact evangelism, where we maybe don't have that depth of relationship, but we've still got amazing opportunities to tell people about Jesus. So I think that is what evangelism is. And in terms of why we should do it, I mean, there are so many reasons. So many reasons. I think there are two big ones that come to mind for me. The first one is that we're told by God in his word that it is the way that the gospel spreads. Right? Romans 1 verse 16. I'm not ashamed of the gospel. It is the power of God for the salvation for everyone who believes. So people hearing the words of the gospel is what will make them believe in Jesus and therefore have eternal life. So evangelism is how the gospel spreads. So that is a reason for us as Christians to do it. And I think the second big reason for me is that it is just an amazing privilege. We've been hearing, I don't know when people are listening to this, but yesterday Mike preached on the lost sheep, and we heard about the God who is unrelenting in the way that he searches for his sheep. This is God, the creator of the universe, the one who made and sustains all things and loves his people and the creation so much that he's willing to go and find them. And as Christians, God uses us through evangelism as part of that process. The creator, the all-powerful, is willing to use us in our failure to bring his kingdom and to make people know him. And so I think it's the way that it works, and it's also an amazing privilege, and that's why I get excited by evangelism at least.
Yeah, thanks, Johnny. That was so inspiring. My motivation and what I've realised is it's basically about love for other people. I didn't realise that when I first started it. I started to hand out tracts on Coronation Day last year, 2023. And it's love for others and it's love for the lost, as I was for a good part of my life. And concern about where they're going in this life and also where people are going in the next life. And also I'm learning it's not about arguing somebody into the faith. It's about love and it's about challenge. And in Scripture, 1 Corinthians 13, verse 1, it says, if I speak in the tongues of men or of angels, but do not have love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. So I try not to be a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal, but I still need to speak to others. And that tracks. It feels also that I'm following orders from Scripture, and I'm also following examples like Paul, like heroes, and Peter walking in their footsteps. And as we've been studying in our Strange Ideas focus group study, in looking at Acts 17, we see Paul going to Athens, and we're asked to reflect we can do the same in London. And it's so inspiring. And it really makes sense from Scripture, as Johnny has alluded to, in Romans 10, 14 to 15. How then can they call on the one they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one of whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can anyone preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. So that's us. Our beautiful feet walking out into the world.
My feet aren't that beautiful. Maybe sometimes we'll see.
And it's challenging. It's exciting. It's great for personal development. I'm sure it has some knock-on effects in other areas of our lives. Am I investing the goal that I've been entrusted with?
I love that, Daniel, when you said at the start it's all about love for others. I think just tying it back, I mean, there's so many passages in Scripture that we can talk about here, but thinking of Jesus as the shepherd that loves his lost sheep, the one sheep that goes missing, and he's willing to go leave the 99 alone to go after the one, and the love that he has for that one. And I think as we start this conversation about evangelism, bringing love for those that don't know Jesus right into the heart of it is so important. And that's got to be our motivation. Because as soon as we make it about ourselves, or as soon as we make it about being right or being really fixated on declaring truth, which are all true, right? I believe it's truth. I believe we're right. But if we lose sight of the fact that it's about loving the lost as Jesus loved them, as you said, Daniel, I think it's going to be hard to have a right heart in evangelism. So that's great. Thanks for that.
Yeah, no, that's a really good place to start, kind of holding those two things in tension, that we want to declare the good news because we believe that it's true, but we also want to deeply love people. And I'm aware that some of us will believe these two things to be true, that what Jesus teaches is right, and one way to love people well is by telling them about Jesus And yet I know that we can still feel really daunted and find it challenging. So my question is, how do we go from being convinced that telling people about Jesus is a loving thing to do to actually opening our mouths and telling our friends about this wonderful news? I'm sure that we've all had experiences when we've gone out to tell people about Jesus and we face barriers or there's some setbacks. So I'd love for us to just address that, unpack that a little bit. Can you guys highlight some common barriers that we can face when we're telling our friends about Jesus, and how can we overcome some of them?
I guess the biggest barrier for me has been fear, mostly.
Mm.
Fear if I share the gospel with friends and family about possibly endangering or losing those friendships or relationships. A friend of mine and a family member, I've written to them sharing the gospel and sharing some concerns about their lives, and that wasn't difficult to do. I hope that wasn't, it won't prove to be a setback. I don't think it is, but and with old friends, friends that I've known for 40 years or so, actually longer, 50 years, when I was at college, you know, the thought of endangering that is quite scary.
Mm.
And so fear, also imagining worst case scenarios, like I just explained, that as if sharing about Jesus, oh, my friend will storm out of the relationship.
Mm.
And that's the worst case, really. Mm. And mostly those worst case scenarios haven't happened.
Mm. I think for me, it's really related to that. It's like my major barrier is my desire to control my identity and to control what people think of me. And I think really tied to that is a fear that people won't like me or will, like, my friends might start treating me differently if I start to talk about Jesus all the time. And I think it's that desire to control what people think of me that makes me slow or even scared to bring Jesus into a conversation or to speak openly, to speak like truly openly and truly honestly about what I believe Jesus means for their life. I think, like, it's easy to kind of hide behind I go to church and I do this, and I think many of us will relate to, like, I'm willing to sort of do the Christian thing, but when it comes to talking about Jesus and evangelizing to people, offering them new life, like, that can, there's something about doing that which means I feel like I'm going to lose control of my identity. I'm sort of having to trust God with this relationship now because I'm losing control of that, and I feel that a lot. I was really, really challenged recently. I've been reading Hebrews with a friend, and we were reading through Hebrews chapter 2. And in chapter 2 of Hebrews, there's a little passage, or just a verse that says, Jesus was not ashamed to call us his brother and sister. And you think, so there's Jesus, right? Perfect creator, sustainer of the universe. And he's not ashamed to call me his brother. And yet I go into conversations and I'm like hiding Jesus away all the time. I'm like talking about church or talking about Christian things, but I'm not necessarily willing to say, yeah, no, Jesus is my brother. He's my savior, redeemer, king and friend, and he's my brother, and I'm going to bring him along with me wherever I go. And I am often ashamed. I think it's true to say. And that's because I have this barrier around wanting to control my identity, I think.
Yeah, thanks, Johnny. The kind of leading from that, it's about pride and perfectionism.
Mm.
And I know that's been a big barrier for me.
Mm.
And it can be. I think the biggest thing was I would think about Billy Graham or other evangelists seen on YouTube or wherever, and thinking, I need to be like him. I need to know the Bible inside out, back to front. I need to know about Greek and Hebrew. And basically, as I've gone on, I've realised I don't, and that only God knows the Bible inside out, back to front, upside down.
Mm.
And I don't have to answer every argument. And this is where the spirit of love comes in, that it's also love for that person I'm speaking to, but also love for myself and kindness and respect, and say, oh, sorry, I don't know the answer to that. I'll get back to you.
Mm.
Or oh, that's an interesting question. And yeah, so there's some scripture that relates to this. Luke 11, verses 11 and 12. When you are brought before synagogues, rulers and authorities, do not worry about how you will defend yourselves or what you will say, for the Holy Spirit will teach you at that time what you should say. Mm. And I amen to that. Mm. The other barrier that I guess I've brought from my past and from my personality, I guess, and since I was young, is being oversensitive to reaction and disagreement. Mm. The rejection of somebody else is more important than the acceptance of Christ. Mm. So I'm learning to be rejected and accepted and everything in between. It's fantastic. And also to remember I'm planting seeds and others may be doing the reaping. Mm. Corinthians 3:6-9, Paul speaking of himself, he said, I planted the seed. Mm. Apollos watered it, but God has been making it grow. So neither the one who plants nor the one who waters is anything, but only God who makes things grow. The one who plants and the one who waters have one purpose, and they will each be rewarded according to their own labour. For we are co-workers in God's service. You are God's field, God's building. So it's taken me time to realise that it's God who's doing the changing, not me. I just show up, do my bit, and have fun.
Oh, we so have to remember that, don't we? Mm. If we put the pressure on ourselves, it's just crippling, isn't it? I think back to, I guess when I first started getting excited about talking about Jesus, and when I was at university, and you'd have these sort of frameworks to talk through, and really helpful tools that might be given out that talk about, like, basically lay out the whole gospel. And you sort of think, okay, well, as long as I get from creation, like, through, like, the fall and then into redemption and into the future, and it's like, give them a choice, and if they don't say yes that day, like, who knows what's going to happen? And you feel this enormous pressure to, like, clearly explain the entire gospel so that someone can walk away a Christian in that moment. And you're like, oh, it's just, it's unmanageable, isn't it? And so down to that point of, all we're doing is planting seeds and trusting God is so important.
Mm. Yeah, I find this like language about being co-workers in God's service really encouraging, and like, wow, what a great privilege. Kind of coming back to what you started with, Johnny, about it being a privilege. Like, wow, I can't believe that I get to partner with God in this, in telling people about Jesus. Like, that just feels like such a phenomenal thing that we get to be involved in.
Yeah, so like going out on the street is like electric. It's so fantastic. There's all these people coming towards me. Mm. I don't know what they're going to be like. I don't know if they're just going to ignore me or.
Yeah.
And when I do engage in a conversation, like I did this evening before we started the podcast, there was a lovely woman. She was so excited about the track. She took a photo of the tracks, the front and the back. And I said, I'll take it for a friend. Mm. So it's beautiful. But so the main thing, I think, for overcoming these barriers is just to do it.
Yeah.
Dive in. So like me doing this podcast, I've never done one before. Dive in and generally, like, I found it like a Saturn V rocket. It's got so much inertia. So when it first takes off, it goes from 0 miles an hour to like 2 or 3 miles an hour, five miles an hour, and then 100 miles an hour. So for me, it's been like that. Or when you're making a snowman, you just start with a snowball and you roll it, and it gets bigger and bigger and bigger. So,
And I think this is where we've got loads to learn from you, Daniel, because I think I might speak for many people, have a sense of like perfectionism and like I've got to get it right. And I think I've never really done sort of tract-based, street-based evangelism, and I'd love, I mean, outside of the podcast, let's talk about that more and let's think about what we can do as a Globe Church on that. But the idea that I'm just going to go onto the street and talk to people about Jesus, that's where the snowball starts, right? And if I'm thinking about that every day, then well, when I get into conversations with my colleagues and my family and my friends, like, that's what I'm going to be thinking about. Mm. And that's this idea of the snowball. And mm. I've never heard of this rocket thing that you just talked about. But I'm really grateful for you and some of the examples that you've given to us in terms of just getting out there and doing it, because there's a load to be said for that, and trusting God, and because I think it becomes exciting then.
Yeah, because if you share a track with someone on the street, you've not got a long term investment in that relationship. Mm. It might be the start of a relationship, and it might be a start for them for a relationship with God.
Mm.
But that process of reaching out to them, as you said, if you then speak to a colleague at work, it's not something new.
Mm.
And later, I've got some tips I can share about that process.
Yeah, I guess kind of one of the things I'm hearing you say is that almost there's less at stake. We talked about that fear with relationships and things like that. But when you're chatting to someone new on the street, there's real scope for courage, because sometimes feels like there's less riding on that. But I love that encouragement to just sort of like go out and do it in whichever capacity that God might be leading you. And it's great that we can be praying for opportunities to speak to people about Jesus. And alongside with that, we can also be praying for boldness and courage to take those opportunities. And as we're stepping out in faith, I guess the more we do it, the less scary it becomes. Because we have good news that is worth sharing. Jesus has invaded the kingdom of darkness to show us a better way, and he welcomes all who will follow him to join this kingdom. And I guess part of evangelism is simply inviting other people to join that kingdom, which is just, such a wonderful reality. Sure. Something that's been really kind of helpful for me is to remember the words in Acts 1:8, which is Jesus speaking to his disciples and explaining how they will receive the power of the Holy Spirit, which will enable them to be witnesses of Christ to the ends of the world. And I find it helpful to think of evangelism in the same lens of being a witness. And what's the job of a witness? They are to recall what they've seen and what they've experienced. And I guess in the same way, we can be witnesses of God by simply sharing what we've experienced, sharing how God has transformed our lives. So when someone shared that with me, I was like, oh, I might find it a bit intimidating to explain the whole gospel from, creation to the end of the world. But if someone says to me, why do you love Jesus, or what impact has Jesus made on your life? Well, I can speak very naturally from my own experience. I can share how God has transformed my life. I can be a witness because I'm speaking of what I've seen God do in my life and how he's transformed the lives of those around me. So I think, it's key to remember, as you mentioned, Daniel, that it is God who does the saving. He's the one who changes people's lives. And we want to be brave and compassionate in telling people about Jesus, but we also want to do everything immersed in prayer, seeking that God will be going before us and softening the hearts of those we come across to be more inclined to believe in him. I'm aware that there are ways that we can engage in evangelism, which will differ from each of one of our experiences depending on our context. And we've already spoken a little bit about it already, Daniel. I know that you're quite experienced in talking to strangers and giving them tracts on the street, whereas Johnny, you have been more involved with long-term personal evangelism. So I'm really intrigued to hear from both of you what your personal experiences have been in telling people about Jesus. Johnny, would you like to kick us off?
Yeah, happy to. I've got a couple of examples, if that's okay. I'm going to give three examples. One which was really, really, really hard. And then I'll end with one which is a little bit better. So at uni, I had quite a close group of friends. And we are still close friends. And there are several people, maybe seven or eight people, who I lived alongside, did life with for those 3 years. And at some point in those years that we lived together and since, I have had the privilege of telling them the gospel, mm-hmm. each of them. And there's one guy in particular who I had a really good conversation with him late into one evening when we were on holiday, and he seemed to love it. Mm-hmm. He seemed to really, really grip what we were saying. He seemed to really love what was going on in the gospel. And he took away a Bible. He took away my Bible, which he never gave back, which is a bit of a shame. And he took away and read it and thought about it, and we had ongoing conversations for a year or so. And then he came back to me one day and he was like, all right, Johnny, I'm done. I don't want to talk about it anymore. I've decided I don't want to talk about Jesus anymore. And that was really, really hard, right? Because we talk about sharing the gospel as this amazing privilege, and it is an amazing privilege. Like, what a joy to be able to tell our friends that they could know Jesus and he could be their savior. However, with that comes a real relational strain and some of the challenges that we talked about earlier. So that's one example of a guy who had all of that was over sort of 5 years. From like first meeting, and we still speak occasionally, but not as much, and our friendship is a bit different. So that's one sort of example and context. Another example is I was part of a rugby club. I played rugby for a while, and there was a season where I was part of a rugby club. At the time, I was spending a lot of time working with an organisation called Christians in Sport, and me and another Christian who was part of the team, we had a deal with one another that every single time we went to training or played a match, we would say the name of Jesus. Not talk about church, not talk about like our jobs. And our jobs were very related to Christian-y things at the time. But we would say the name of Jesus. So people would be like, oh, what were you doing at work? And be like, oh, yeah, I had a coffee with someone. We were talking about how Jesus has impacted this area of their rugby or whatever it was. And you talk about the snowball, right? That was great. And over the course of that season, we had, countless, many dozens of conversations about Jesus, just because that's what happens if you say his name a lot. And that was it was a really, really special year. And by the end of the year, like six of our teammates had come along to church and heard different bits of the gospel. And they're at various stages now. So that's another example of where it's slightly less intensive than the first example, but these things can happen. And then the final one is much more up to date. I've got a colleague at work now who, when I first started in my new job, or my current job, which isn't that new anymore, I had to like create a film, like a 30-second video, which was like about Johnny. And I was like, well, it wouldn't be right to not mention Jesus in this. So I said something about Jesus is really important to me. And then my line manager obviously got sent that when I first joined. And so we had a bit of a chat about that first time we met. And now every single week when I see him, he's like, oh, what did you learn about a church this week? And so every week I get to say, oh, I learned about the shepherd, and Jesus loves you, and he's going to save you if you turn to him. And it's very light. And I think my danger actually is that we've made it a little bit jokey, and I probably need to offer him the gospel a bit more. And with a bit more integrity each time I meet him. But I think the reason why I put that last example in there is because it is light and it's not weighty. And he knows that I believe that Jesus is my savior. And he knows that is a core part of my identity. And so from there, we can have these conversations in quite an open way. And that's really exciting. Yeah.
I think sometimes we can think about waving our flag, which is exactly what you did in those two final examples, as something that would make us seem really strange and really weird, and people will put us in a box. But actually, once people know you're a Christian, it becomes so much less weird to talk about Jesus.
Totally.
Like at my workplace, I feel like people always, when I work in the NHS, they come and ask me stuff about my faith, and it's so normal now for me to be like, this is what I believe and this is what we think at church. And I actually find it so liberating that everyone at work knows that I'm a Christian, because it gives me real freedom to just be able to talk about him, and it's not as strange as we can sometimes think at first.
Yeah, so mostly last year I've been giving out tracks, but when I first got baptized, I play the guitar and I go busking, so I thought, well, why don't I go busking, take some, they're kind of like tracks or little daily, it's called Daily Strength, Bible reflections. So I thought, I'll play the guitar and I'll put a sign saying, please take one. Mm-hmm. So I'd be a busker who's playing but not asking for money. And the one memory that sticks out was I'd stopped playing and a guy was just standing there and he said, oh, thank you so much. I was falling away. So he was obviously a Christian who was falling away from the faith. And he said, I'm so glad I met you today. So that really resonates in my heart. So we're not only helping unbelievers or people who've never heard the gospel, maybe we're I think we are helping everybody, wherever they are with Christ. Handing out tracts. But recently, I've been down at Lewisham with a group of people and a local church down there, and it's been so exciting. I mean, that's sort of handing out tracts on steroids. I'm learning about Muslims, what they believe, mostly just by asking questions and, asking the right and listening, letting them do the talking, and then I'm learning because I've got books about the Muslim faith, but it's totally different when you come to meet someone. And a few weeks ago, I met a guy, and he said, "Oh, I don't believe in religion." And I said, "What faith do you have, sir?" And he said, "Well, I'm a Muslim, but I don't believe in religion anymore. I believe in God." So I wouldn't have a clue that a Muslim would feel that way if I didn't allow him the space.
Yeah, I love that. Quite often, evangelism is listening. I think we can fool ourselves that it's about the words that we say. Of course, the words that we say are important. But we've been looking in our focus groups. We've mentioned a couple of times the stuff in Acts 17 and how Paul really goes deep to understand the culture that he's in Athens. Daniel, you're listening to people to understand the Islamic faith. I think a lot of the starting point will be to listen, and because to speak Jesus's name into a situation and to expect to be listened to, we've got to start by listening. I think that's awesome.
Yeah, and there was an agnostic chap. We had a very long conversation. I say agnostic, I think it was agnostic leaning to atheism. And he brought up lots of arguments, and I tried not to argue, but we had a conversation. And at the end of it, I said to him, can I say a prayer for you? And he said, "Oh, yeah, that'd be great." So people are so fascinating. You know, one minute you think, oh, they've been reading all the atheist literature. And then you offered to pray for them, and he said, "Yeah, I've had a really bad cold all this week." And he said, "You've done really well, you know." So he was giving me feedback. So,
great.
Yeah. And recently, I kept thinking more about what you said, Johnny, about speaking to friends. Recently, in our Have You Ever Wondered events in church about the prodigal son, I invited a friend. And I found my experiences for myself personally is to write something. Write a letter and maybe offer to read it to them. But with this friend, I spoke to the friend and I said, I'm going to send you an email about possibly coming to church with me. And they said, "Oh, okay." So I sent the email and I didn't get any response for about a week. And I thought, well, I'll phone up and we had a chat. And this person had recently been quite ill. So, we're speaking. I said, "Oh, did you get my email?" They said, "Yeah." And they said, "I'm not a church person." But same again. I said, "Oh, can I say a prayer?" And they're happy to be prayed for. So we're not robots, and other people aren't kind of cardboard cutouts.
I'm sometimes surprised how open people can be. Like, I think I'm like, oh, this person will definitely not be interested in hearing about Jesus. But then actually, when you start a conversation, there's like a real like openness there, and people seem to really love receiving prayer as well. So I love that we don't want to just write people off. But we want to be sensitive to the moving of the Holy Spirit, to his direction, really grow in dependence on God as we step out in faith. Thank you guys so much for all that you've been sharing so far. That's really, really helpful. Just as we close, I'm wondering, what advice would you guys give to someone who is listening to this and would love to grow in their evangelism? What are some good next steps?
It's got to be to pray. We've said it from the top, really. But this is God's work, right? Like we have the privilege of being involved in what he wants to do and what he will do in this world. But it's his work. It's not in our strength. And so we need to be praying. So Yeah, first thing to pray for help. Pray that God would give us the strength, the courage, the boldness, whatever the specific situations are that we're in, and pray for specific people by name. Yep. Pray daily. We've got to be praying. Praying while you're in the middle of conversations with people. Yeah. Pray for help. Pray for the words. You might not get a warm, fuzzy feeling, but we can trust that God will work in us and through us if we're asking him. So let's pray. And also, this is a team game, right? Church has been given to the world by God. Mm. The church is God's vehicle for this to happen. So let's work together. Mm. Let's be praying for each other. Let's be telling one another on a Sunday, mm-hmm. our friends who we want to chat to, or that we're going to go out and meet some people on the street, or whatever it might be. Let's be praying. So pray. That's one thing. I think there are a couple of other things. Events can be a really good starting point. Mm-hmm. I think sometimes having an external environment, a kind of neutral ground that isn't church, that isn't doesn't come with the same hang-ups that religion does for some people, can be a great place to initiate conversations. Yeah. So this month we've got the Have You Ever Wondered events. Mm-hmm. They might be a great place to kick off these conversations, so we can invite people to events. Those would be two things. And I think the third thing, and we've talked about this for the last 10 minutes or so, but I think building relationships and being compassionate towards our friends, listening to them, caring about their lives, and not treating them as projects. I think we can sometimes get bound into the kind of evangelism project type idea, and like sort of seeming to care about someone only insofar as we have the opportunity to get them to church. But that's not right, is it? That's not what we see Jesus doing. That's not what we see Paul modeling. That's not what we see in the New Testament. Investing in relationships with people, even if the opportunities don't seem like they're coming thick and fast. I think those would be three things.
Yeah, for me, I'm always full of ideas, but a few of them are, be creative. If you're a creative person, which most people are in some way, put Jesus and God into your creativity, mention in a song or mention in a poem or in a painting. Mm. And perhaps the Have You Ever Wondered event about the songs we sing, that might be a good way to try that out. To trust the Lord. If you feel you're getting egg on your face, return to the Lord. Tell him and others your embarrassment. Be honest. Don't hide like Adam. There's nothing to be ashamed of. Whatever the pain, whatever the embarrassment you feel you went through, because it may feel embarrassing to start with because you're going stepping outside your comfort zone. And the successes. Someone says yes, return to the Lord, give him the glory, tell him and others your joy. It's tempting sometimes for me, I get quite high from it. Mm. It's quite exciting. And then I've got to be very, very careful, like Paul said, really, about that Paul was given a thorn in his side. And sometimes after I've been out, giving out tracts, the next day, or if something's exciting, I've had a brilliant conversations with people, the next day I feel quite low. Mm. And I think that's actually part of the natural process. Daniel, it's not to just keep trudging on, plodding on, doing the same thing, have the excitement. But it's all in God's hands and it's all for God's glory.
Yeah, I think, as you were saying that, I was like, also good to pray for protection, because I think anytime we go out to do anything in God's name, like, we might face opposition. So like praying for yourself and then also praying for your friends, and what Johnny was saying about community, doing it with other people so people can pray for you as well. We can cover ourselves as we do these things.
And what also I found helpful is to practice with a Christian friend, role play. And actually the role play I did with a friend, that's worse. The way he role played it was worse than any conversation I've ever had. And I think I learned from that unconsciously. If you role play with a Christian friend, you're helping them, because they're hearing you practice, and that will encourage them. Offer to read the Bible with someone, that's a gentle way to do it. I know Johnny, you referred to that earlier. There's a good resource called The Word One-to-One, which I think Globe Church has used. And I did that with a friend recently, and he really took off. Mm-hmm. He wants to be baptized.
Oh, wow. So,
praise God.
Amen. Get some tracks. They're cheap. Start by leaving them on the bus if you're frightened to hand them out, or aim to hand out just one. Have a then go and celebrate. If you just did one a day, or on the first day, or even one a week to get started, you're getting started on it. What else? For me, what I've done, I've rephrased evangelism in my mind as sharing the good news, because sometimes people may have baggage in their mind about it being an evangelist, coming back to the perfectionism, as if to call myself evangelist, I've got to be Billy Graham. Well, that's not the case, as we've discussed. For me, also writing up, memorising some encouraging Bible phrases, like 1 John 4:18, where it refers to perfect love drives out fear. So the perfect love of Christ within myself, and the love and concern for that lost person I may be speaking to, can drive out that fear. And like, you know, the person who may just walk past and reject, there's still a feeling of love, even though they've ignored me. Yeah. And it's okay to be frightened. Like an interview for a job. You won't get the job if you don't show up. And you won't throw a six without rolling the dice. So it's, yeah. And as we said, we can't say it enough to pray again. Amen.
Amen. Wow, such great advice, guys. Thank you so much for all those helpful insights. Thank you guys so much for listening. We have covered quite a lot of ground there, but I wonder, is there one encouragement or one tip that you can take forward to focus on this week and to pray into? If you want to chat about some of this stuff more, please come find us at church. Johnny and Daniel and I will always be up for talking about evangelism and things like that. Reach out to us. All the information on Have You Ever Wondered will be on our Instagram page, which is Globe Church. So yeah, feel free to check that out. And yeah, hope you've been encouraged and strengthened. Join us next time for our next discussion. Goodbye.
Bye.
Bye.